Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Today's scripture comes from the first chapter of John, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning, and everything came into being through the Word. And without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself was not the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into our world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world did not recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people did not recognize him or welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Pray with me. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and you are our Redeemer. And we give you praise. It is in your name we pray. God's people said, amen. Two things before we go into the message very quickly. One, I want to invite you tonight to join the Goshen Theater. They're going to be staging a production called A Charlie Brown Christmas right here on this in this building, in this sanctuary. You're welcome to join them. It's $10, I think, for the tickets. The director is in the back, I think. I think she had to step out for a second, but we'll let her have her acknowledgement when she comes back in at some point. And just want to invite you for a great time in the Lord tonight. I want to make a plea that I hadn't thought to do until just recently. I have always had a group of people with me wherever I've served in a local church that have been kind of my prayer team, those who kind of just align themselves. Now, we got goob gobs of prayer here. We pray all the time, and we're going to keep doing that. But I'm just inviting some people to just kind of partner with me. There'll be some times where I'll call you together and just be with me. It's called the Pastor's Prayer Team, and I just simply want to invite you, if you will, to consider being a part of that with me. If you have an interest on that, sometimes you'll join me in the morning before we have a time of worship. Sometimes it'll be before the mission teams go out. Just if you have an interest, I just want to prick your heart about that. Just let me know. Just pull my ear, okay? How many of you like comedy? Okay. I got friends of mine who love comedy. Some Steve Martin. The list goes on and on. I won't call all the names. But there's one for me that just captivates my heart. My wife wonders what I want for Christmas. Here's what I really want for Christmas. I want the complete unabridged video log of the Bernie Mac show. That's what I want. For me, Bernie Mac, get past his kings of comedy language, is above heads or tail for me, the guy that just pricks my joy button, just does it for me. He shortly before he died, he wrote about something I want to talk to you about today, about what it means to be born. He was preparing his last comedy tour, and the name of it was going to be Birth is a Mess. He writes this about comedy. Now, I'm not Bernie Mac, so I don't expect tons of laughs, but you'll get the point. Being born is a mess. In fact, the whole birth process is a mess. In fact, anything to do with birthing has got to be the worst tragedy God ever created. I mean, from the diapers to how long it takes for the child to come, to the pain that the woman goes through, to the pain that the man goes through, which has got to be more than the woman because he's got to deal with her pain and his pain. To the amount of money we spend, to the doctors that get paid goo gobs of money to do very little because the woman does it all. It's just a mess. He says from the time you start the process to the time you end, the only time you have fun is before the process, and then you wish you hadn't had the process after you had the process to create the process. He says it's just a mess. Everything about birth is a mess. He said even God didn't want to go through the birth process, which is why he made Immaculate Conception. The whole thing is just one big mess. Goes on for about two pages. I won't give it to y'all. In fact, I can't. There's some here that won't let me. But he finishes with this. And it's a mess right up until I realize the four children I've had is the mess that I wouldn't want to do without. I guess God had a plan for the mess, and it must have been a miracle. So I guess even though it's a mess, I'm blessed by the mess. Being born is a gift. The birth process is a gift, and it is elaborate and extensive. And I watched it happen. I didn't do it, but I thank God for my wife who did twice. And you know, as I know, that the birth process seems like it takes forever sometimes. That makes sense until you read the gospel according to John. John, who is this Essene, this guy who reads and writes around the island right near Bethlehem. If some of you were to travel with us as we go to 2018, and in 2018, some of us here at the church are going to go to Israel, I'd invite you to join us. There'll be some information coming out really soon. What you'd know if you ever go there is that this guy named John and the other priest of that desert area spent their whole lives as the early priest of the day. In fact, the early ones who were the most pious of the group, just walking through these processes of washing and cleansing themselves symbolically to represent to God that they had come out of ritual in the desire for righteousness and relationship. John, who is one of the Essenes, who's of the latter generation of those who have done this practice, sits down as he records the life of God, even as he jumps from John 1 to John 2 and 3 as the adult. And before he can get to the adult version of Jesus, John writes the first chapter about the birth of John, and he does not record it and in the process that you and I would espouse to. He does not talk about what Mary and Joseph go through. He does not mention Elizabeth and even his mother, Elizabeth and Zechariah to the end. He doesn't mention any of that. He spends the whole chapter focused in on one thing. He makes the argument that if you don't understand that God was born by God, you've missed the whole point of what birth and being born has relevance for in the first place. To this end, he writes these words that our beloved sister read so ably. I want to read them for you now a little bit. He says in verse 12, but those who did not welcome him, those who did welcome him and those who did believe in his name, he authorized them to become God's children. Verse 13, born not from blood nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. I love what it says here in verse 14. It is one of these preacher phrases. If you've ever been in more than one church, you probably had a preacher like me who learned the King James language. I'll just transcribe it in a minute. He says, the word became flesh and made his home among us. I love what it says in King James. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the wonder of his glory, full of grace and truth, the master of the Savior and the glory of it all. That's King James. I just love the syntax of it all. It just sounds so wonderful. But he says in verse 14 that it's the word that became flesh. And he makes the argument to those who he writes to, this Essene who writes to people who have spent their whole life trying to study the text to make sense to it, thinking, intelligent, intellectual Christians to be. Those who have come out of the Judean culture and those who desire to understand the how of God being born makes any sense and makes any purpose for us. He says to them, in essence, as he writes this Advent story, this coming of God, he says that there are four elements of why you need to know that Jesus was born by God and how it makes sense for us. And here are the four. Number one, he says that Jesus was born by God for the purpose of visitation. For the purpose of visitation. He says, secondly, that Jesus was born by God for the purpose of declaration. For the purpose of declaration. Number three, he says, if you're going to understand this wonderful gift that is Jesus, and you're going to accept that God is with us and in us, and that there's joy to it, purpose for us, and holy hope for our being, you've got to realize that God allows Jesus to be born by God for the purpose of incarnation. Incarnation. And finally, John declares that Jesus was born by God for the purpose of confession. For the purpose of confession. John's name is helpful here as we begin this journey, as we understand these four points that I offer you today. John's name means Yahweh is gracious. It is the bridge for us to understand how one who had a former faith could transcribe himself to accept a new faith. One who was Jewish can now become Christian. One who was Muslim could now become a follower of Jesus, and others who could release themselves from one practice of faith to another. It is because they are so captivated with the mystery that is Jesus in God and God in Jesus that John's name helps us to understand that God, in the process of us understanding who he is gracious. That helps me. Because as I try to make sense of what God is doing, even in this season of our lives, one of the great gifts that God gives us is God will be patient with us while we understand what God is doing. To this end, I want to offer you the life of an Essene, that person and those people who are out in the desert wondering what life is about. Some of you may be in this place wondering with the moment you're in, the season of life that you're called into, the wonders of questions that you may have. What is this about? I don't even know if I trust God. I don't even know if I want to give my whole heart to God. I don't know if I want to have faith for this thing. Some stuff is going on that I can't make sense of, doesn't understand, and quite frankly, it's bothering me. Here's the good news. God is gracious. That while you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out, and he'll wait on you, and he'll keep coming towards you even when you don't know God is on the way. John, who was raised in Capernaum, was the son of Zebedee and probably the son of one named Solomon, who was the younger brother of John, of James, and at the same time was one who became later a fisherman and one of Jesus' disciples, who was known as the one who teared up on the shoulder of Jesus, offers us some truths that we can gain from this teaching. The big point is this. For John, the birth of Jesus, Jesus being born, must come not from a biological context, but it must first be received out of a theological context. He says all of the understanding of how the functions work in terms of the biology will do you no good unless you accept by faith what is being presented to you in God's holy spoken word. Because what comes out of the physical process can happen through anybody, but it's only what comes out of someone's mouth and their spirit, that comes out of their heart and their will and their hope for you, that you can fully understand what they really mean for you when they say it. And with this said, we begin the journey by understanding that if we're going to accept in this Christmas season that God in Christ, Jesus Christ, was born, we are going to have to get to the place where we're willing to engage the truth that God was born by God for the purpose of visitation. For the purpose of visitation. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 are helpful here. Let me read a little bit of it for you. I want to begin at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the Word was God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. Verse 5, I love what it says. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish the light. The King James language says, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Here's the point. John, in writing to the people who are asking him, help us understand who God is, how he came to be this Christ who is the Savior, and what is the significance for us, says to us at first, listen, if you're going to really grasp it, you've got to understand that God didn't come for no purpose, but God came for the purpose, that God came for a purpose, that God had purpose, and because God had purpose, and God had purpose coming for you. In other words, God came because God wanted the one thing that every organic and created being ever wants: relationship. I told you, John and those Essenes, those early priests of the day, were out in the desert, and they had put themselves outside of the community that was doing all kinds of things just out of function because they wanted a more holy and deep relationship. They had removed themselves from the trappings of this world. They had subsided themselves from the things that would be prominent and make them look like they were of high standing, and they had lowered themselves in terms of the standing of this world in hopes that they might higher their relationship and connection with God. And to this end, I want to say something to you here that is really important. That God loved you so much that he wanted not just for you to have a moment to mark his glory, but that you would have a whole life of his ministry in your will and in your way and in your walk, that you would not simply know about him, but that you would get to know him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. God wanted us to have not just moments, but encounters. God spent his word on us that we might get to know his heart. You remember the famous phrase that everyone likes to say, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. God spent his whole time in this moment with the one who would love him the most. And he said, don't get to know the process, because the process is secondary until you know the person. And the only way you're going to know the person is to know my plan. And if you know my plan, you'll know I have a plan for you. This was for somebody who came in here empty and endless, without a hope, thinking that this was just another Christmas for another moment and it made no difference in your life. God had me say this to you, that God has a plan for you. God has a holy and divine plan for you. The initial plan of God didn't look like much. It looked like he was born in the city of Bethlehem to two parents that didn't know what they were doing, in a place that didn't know what they were getting, in a people who didn't care about who was coming. And yet and still, he birthed the Savior of the world to a people who didn't know who were coming, to a place that didn't know what it meant, just so he could prove to people that his plan is bigger than what you think. And if you can get a hold of the process that God has, which is to speak purpose in your life by the hope that seems so infinitesimal, He'll visit you again and again and again at the most unsuspecting moments. God wants visitation with us. And God was born by God for the purpose of visitation. God took off his divine nature and put on human will that we might be able to draw close to God. You thought about that? Think about it. When you're at your loneliest, God is sitting right next to you. How do I know that? Because the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. And yea, though you walk through the valley, one version says the darkest valley, he'll be with you. It's good to know that his purpose was not simply to come and visit with us, but his purpose was to come and declare good things. That's the second point I want to offer you, that God was born by God for the purpose of declaration, not just visitation, but declaration. Visitation is God wants to be our friend, for us to know God, for God to have relationship with us, for our lives and never be lonely or the same again. But the second point is equally important, because if God doesn't declare who he is to you, you really don't understand what he can be for you. Notice verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word was God. But verse 3, it says this. Listen to it very carefully. Everything, please, if you're taking notes, just you might want to underline that word, because it makes all the difference in the text. Everything, everything came into being through the Word. The Greek word for word is ruach. It is a Greek word which means spirit. It means that God wanted you not only to be created because he said so, but because his spirit, his heart for you, his love for you, manifested out of his bosom in such a way that he could not help himself but to create was good and was perfect in his sight. How do I know that? Genesis 1, chapter 1. God goes to creating again. He takes dust and clay and dirt that was never meant to live in the first place. And because, just like you and I, who no one would bet and gamble that we could be better than what they thought we could be, God birthed in us the ability to be better than what they thought. And as a result, just like in Genesis 1, where he breathed the living nephesh of life on it, and he saw that it was good and said that it was good, and it was good. Just like that day in the book of beginnings of Genesis, he also saw that you were good, said that you were good, and you were good, and you have purpose and you have meaning. And this Christmas, please know that he was born by God for you, that he might declare to you that you are a victor and not a victim. You are a winner and not somebody wandering in the wilderness. You are somebody because he came. You can go forward and live a life that is a victorious one because he paid it all for you. He comes to declare. In fact, I love what it says in Jeremiah 29. He comes that you have a future and a hope. He comes to declare that you're going to be the head and not the tail. He comes to declare that you're a king's kid and you don't even know it. He comes to declare that you can do all things through Christ. He comes to make statement to the world that if you discount my children, my divine nature will stand up in them and do miraculous things through them because they are mine. And because I am theirs and they are mine, nothing can stop them from the great things I've called them into. Number 3, understanding that God was born by God, that Jesus himself, who is the manifestation of God in the flesh, was born by God, must have the understanding that God was born by himself, from his word, for the purpose of incarnation. This is a deep theological term. I've only got a couple of minutes left. Here it is. Incarnation means that he was born for the purpose of being in you. Oh, this is helpful here, because when humanity runs out, divinity must step forth. And what I want to tell you in this moment of great truth is this, that if you're going to understand the divine nature of Christ, you must fully accept and follow the real humanness of Jesus. Jesus doesn't want to just be your king. He wants to be your friend. And Jesus doesn't want to just be your buddy. He wants to be your hope and your joy. And the only person, the only creature, the only being that could ever be that is the one who is the incarnation of God's self, who is Christ the Lord. How do you know that, Troy? Look at John chapter 1 very quickly. I've got to run very soon. Here it is, verse 10. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light. By the way, that word light doesn't mean what we have had to use because of our limited capacity as humans in terms of the spectrum of the sun. Light in the Hebraic term does not mean that. It means heart and hope and love. So every piece of hope and love that is manifested through his sacrifice is what brightens all of existence. You can be in a very dark place, but if you have Jesus, you got the light of the world, and nothing can darken your soul. The incarnation is the light. And because of this, we can discover this final truth that is found in the writing of John chapter 1. Here it is, that Jesus was born by God for the purpose of confession. Confession. When you get a chance, go and read chapters 2 and 3 of John, the Gospel of John. And what you'll discover is John doesn't even pay any attention to the birth process. John is so busy telling the story of the love and the power and the work of God found in Christ our Lord as he spends those last 3.5 years of his existence on this world that he doesn't want to miss a moment to tell you of the miraculous deeds that he was. And to this end, what it says in verse 14 captivates my attention almost every other week. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the wonder of his glory, full of grace and truth. Here it is. It's when divinity and humanity smack up against each other, and there's no choice but to formulate them in one person who is the Father of all nations, who is called Jesus Christ the Lord. And to this end, John can't help himself because he realizes who he's talking about so well that his confession becomes his witness of the wonder, who is Christ our Lord. Confession in the 21st century has gotten a bad rap. Somehow confession means that you've done wrong, done shameful things, and somehow you've been the worst of all things. And therefore, you got to tell this sorry and sad story of how bad you were and what you did wrong and how you're not worthy. And the list goes on and on. Can I tell you what John does? John says, you don't need to know any of my business. You don't need to know what I've done wrong. I'm not interested in telling you. In fact, you ought to get to the point, instead of Facebook and Twitter, just telling people that God is good all the time and just leave your business out of it and let them figure out just how wonderful you are in spite of yourself, because of who he is. And your witness ought to be that God has blessed me and kept me and saved me. And because of that, I have a hope and a future and a promise and a joy. And this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. That I got good news coming. And in this light, I conclude with this final exhortation. In Luke 2, as the band prepares to come, it says this, that the people had seen a great light. And in the city of David, a star proclaimed that a Savior was born. Born by God. And his name was Christ the Lord. Pray with me. God, let us never be so quick to push past the story of the Christmas tale that we forget that there's a miracle beyond the moment of biology, which is created because you spoke and breathed life into that which wasn't living so that we might live. Bless us as we mark this Christmas season. And we stand in great proclamation, as did John and the others, who cannot keep the joy of Jesus to themselves, saying, I know one who comes that you might have life and have it more abundantly. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. This we ask as we ask it for ourselves. God's people said, amen.